Radio North Sea International story is a dramatic and exciting account of the world's most eventful offshore radio station. The station whose dramas made news headlines all over the world. The station which was chased around the North Sea by governments, bombed, jammed and attacked, and finally to be silenced by the Dutch government. The RNI story starts in 1968, when Erwin Meister and Edwin Bollier were installing radio equipment on the MV Galaxy, the former home of the English offshore station of the 1960s, Radio London. The station was to transmit easy listening and pop music off the coast of Germany. However, in January 1969, the project fell through, owing to the introduction of the Marine Offences Act by the German government. Disappointed by the decision, both Meister and Bollier decided they'd start their own station. A 347-ton ship was purchased and named the Meebo, from the first two letters of their surname. After completion, it was decided that a much larger radio ship would be more suitable, so they bought the 630-ton MV Silvretta. The 186-foot ship was renamed the Meebo 2. The ship was lavishly fitted out to become the most modern of all offshore radio stations. Two studios were built on board, and the transmitter room was fitted with four transmitters, which were a 105-kilowatt RCA medium-wave model, two shortwave 10.5 kilowatt transmitters, and a 1.2 kilowatt FM transmitter. On the 22nd of January 1970, the brightly painted Meebo 2 left Slikkeveer in Holland for her anchorage off Noordwijk. The next day at 10:30 p.m., a test transmission was broadcast on 6210 kHz in the 49-meter shortwave band and on 102 MHz FM.
Meine Damen und Herren, Sie hören weiterhin das Testprogramm von Radio Nordsee International, ausgestrahlt vom Motorschiff MS Meebo 2. Und wir benötigen Ihre Mithilfe. Schicken Sie uns doch bitte Empfangsberichte und schreiben Sie auf diese Berichte, wann Sie uns gehört haben, wo Sie uns gehört haben und wie alt Sie sind. Und das alles bitte an folgende Adresse: an Radio Nordsee International, 8047 Zürich, Postfach 113 in der Schweiz. Ich wiederhole, unsere Adresse lautet Radio Nordsee International, 8047 Zürich, Postfach 113 in der Schweiz.
Roger Day takes up the story.
I had a lot of people phoning me up saying, "Here, there's a new pirate station," as I always did, exactly in that voice. "Are you going to join it?" And as I'd heard about 800 other rumours of radio stations joining, I said, "Oh yeah, believe it when it happens." So I saw this advert in Disc that said, "Experienced disc jockeys." So even though it said that, I still applied. And I got this weird letter back from Zurich. And I thought I had nothing to lose by going and seeing them, because they said, "Come across and see us in Scheveningen," where they were staying at the Grand Hotel. And I met these two characters, 1970s answer to Punch and Judy, called Meister and Bollier. But I think Laurel and Hardy were funny, a couple of characters. They made me laugh more anyway. And They said, oh, yeah, we got a radio station. And I thought, oh, sure, you know, like you've paid me for coming over and everything, but I still won't believe it until I see it. And at that time, it wasn't even testing. But they said, well, come and see our boat. Can you stay on? I said, well, I've got to get back to England for a few things because I was earning my living out of discotheques then, and I was in no way going to turn down valuable contracts to stay over there. So I said, well, I've got to do it today. And they took me to the harbour, and we went out, and on the horizon appeared this gaudily painted thing, which must have killed off all the fish in the area. It was painted. I'd never seen anything like it. It was really what they termed psychedelic painting, and it had a big aerial, so I presumed there was a transmitter on board. Went on, and the studios were just about complete with some strange equipment in there. And I had a look, and they said, well, do you want the job? And I said, sure. Well, they said, well, can you stay? I said, look, I've got a wife and everything. I can't just stay. We don't do things like that. I've got to go home and tidy up loose ends. So I went home and thought, oh, well, nothing to lose. I was a bit fed up with doing discotheques. And a couple of weeks later, I joined R&I, but not before I recorded a test announcement for them saying, if I can remember it correctly, this is Radio North Sea International, the sound of a... Hang on, what was it?
This is the sound of Europe, Radio North Sea International on test transmissions. We would appreciate listener reception reports, so if you're hearing us, and you must be to be hearing me say this, please write to us at RNI, P.O. Box 113, 8047, Zurich in Switzerland. I'll repeat that again for you. It's RNI for Radio North Sea International, P.O. Box 113, 8047, Zurich, Switzerland. We'd appreciate it if you wrote in, and please, keep on listening.
And I did put that on cassette and left it with them, and was quite amused a couple of days later to hear this very loud hiss on my radio and then my announcement coming over, because as you can imagine, my phone started going kind of wild with people saying, here, we've heard you're joined Radio North Sea. I said, no, can't be me, I'm here. And it might sound like me, but I wouldn't join one of those pirates. You get arrested for that, you know.
The chairman of the board of the Happiness Corporation. Charge!
Radio North Sea, 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 Radio North Sea.
The next month, the 105-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter was tested on 186 metres. And a week later, live tests started when the DJs arrived. Alan West, Carl Mitchell, and me, Andy Archer.
They said, who do you know that we can employ? And I mentioned umpteen people who they didn't really contact. Why, I don't know, but anyway, some of whom I mentioned, of course, were people like Andy Archer, that is, Alan West, Carl Mitchell. But anyway, Andy, Carl, and Alan, I knew, were in the same position as myself, ex-radio people looking for radio work, not really getting on too well with the BBC if they wanted to get on with them at all. And I phoned them up and said, look, come out and see what we can do. And, of course, they just about came out on the next tender.
Alan West takes up the story.
In the early days, it was very good, much better, actually, than it was in the latter days. Every facility was there. There was more food, wine, spirits and beer, and cigarettes and cigars than one could cope with, and the money was very good.
At 6 p.m. on the 28th of February, the station officially opened with German and English programming.
And don't forget, you are tuned to Radio North Sea International, the sound of Europe on 186 metres medium wave, shortwave 49 metre band, and a shortwave 31 metre band. The 49 metre band is 6.2 in omega cycles, and also on the FM band for listeners in Holland. Goedemorgen to you, dames en heren, I think that's... Sorry about my pronunciation. I do try, astablieb. that's 102 mega cycles.
Where the action is.
On the afternoon of the 23rd of March 1970, the Mebo 2 left her anchorage and headed for the English coast.
I'd like to wish you a very good evening on behalf of all the staff of Radio North Sea International, and welcome back to our programme. We apologise for the short break in transmission, but this was necessary in preparation of our short journey to England.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to repeat our previous message. The Mebo 2 is now leaving the coast of Holland. We at Radio North Sea International would like to take this opportunity to extend to our friends in Holland, especially all of the people in Scheveningen at the Grand Hotel, for their friendly cooperation during the first 2 months of broadcasting. As we cross the North Sea, we leave you with our most heartfelt thanks. To the people of Great Britain, we can only say we are on our way.
When we sailed to England, it was electric, the atmosphere. It was rather like reliving the Johnny Walker thing about sailing up the River Thames and knocking down Tower Bridge on the way. It was great fun.
R&I makes me happier than I ever been, than I ever been before.
A pirate radio ship was early today preparing to anchor off the East Coast and beam pop music to England. The Swiss-owned pirate ship Mebo 2, which broadcasts Radio North Sea International, left the Dutch coast yesterday evening announcing that they were moving to a position off the Essex coast outside British territorial waters. The psychedelically painted Mebo 2 dropped anchor off Holland on Sea, Essex, at a position of 51 degrees 42.5 minutes north, 01 degrees 17 minutes east.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's blast off time on Bunny Radio. We're going into orbit.
Well, actually, it's very nice to be here, well, you know, in our old position, looking at lots of things. I look out of my cabin window and all that sort of thing. But there's only one drawback. Yes, you know I haven't said anything about it so far. It's that dreadful tender ride back again.
The decision to sail the ship to the English coast proved to be a bad move for R&I. The medium wave signal caused interference to the Walton-on-the-Naze coast guards. So the medium wave transmitter was switched off until a new wavelength was found.
This is Radio North Sea International, currently broadcasting on the 49-meter shortwave band, 6.210 megacycles, and on channel 50, FM 102 megacycles. A repeat of our earlier message, a telex recently received from Zurich, that we must turn off our medium wave transmitter for at least 2 days. We have now confirmed that there has been interference with coastal communications. For this, the management of Radio North Sea International extends their sincere apologies to all concerned.
What good are friends if you never call on them? Your best friend station.
On the 10th of April 1970, the station returned to the air on 190 meters, 1578 kilohertz.
Now 10 minutes past one, and we have little information for you, then. Other than the fact that Radio North Sea International, which is the big news of the day, is on the air today for the first time, and we'll be going through until 2 o'clock, and then from now on, 5.30 a.m. to 2 a.m. each and every day, and 190 meters on the medium wave band, 1578 kilocycles, or on the FM band at channel 50, 102 megacycles. And the other little tidbit of information we have for you is that Paul McCartney now says he's no longer a Beatle.
You're tuned to the big sound of Radio North Sea International, 190 on your radio dial.
This is the place that's gonna blow your mind.
The place that's gonna blow your mind.
The place that's gonna blow your mind.
This is the sound of Radio North Sea.
This is Radio North Sea International, Europe's only all-day music station, broadcasting from 51 degrees, 42 minutes, 30 seconds north, 1 degree, 17 minutes east, on 190 meters on the medium wave band. Also broadcasting in short wave on the 49-meter band, 6.210 megacycles, and in FM on channel 50, 102 megacycles. On the air from 5:30 a.m. to 2 a.m., this is Radio Nordsee International.
And now the right time from Bulova is exactly 5 o'clock. Bulova, who invented Accutron, the electronic tunic Forkwatch.
For those connected with R&I, this seemed to be the end of their problems. But not so. 5 days later, the Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications, under the direction of Mr. John Stonehouse, commenced jamming the medium wave transmission with an 800 hertz tone from a naval radio station at Rochester. It was stated at the time that this was being done at the request of Italy and Norway.
This is Andy Archer sitting in for Alan West on the Alan West Show, thrown till 8 o'clock tonight. And Alan will be back on Friday evening, I believe. And Roger, Duncan, myself, and also Hannibal are going away on 2 weeks' holiday. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Alan, Mark, Carl and Axel coming out.
It's interesting to note that not even in times of war has the British government ever jammed a broadcast station.
It's the happening place, Radio
Nordsee. R&I left the air at 8:30 p.m. that night and returned at 9 p.m. on the 30th of April 1970 on 217 metres, 1385 kilohertz, and also on a new FM frequency of 100 megahertz.
Following frequency adjustment, this is Radio Nordsee International on test transmissions. Our medium wave band length is now 217 meters, 1385 kilocycles. We also broadcast on a new FM frequency, channel 43, 100 megacycles. Reception reports are welcome. Please send them to RNI, P.O. Box 113, Zurich 8047 in Switzerland. Once again, that's RNI, P.O. Box 113, Zurich 8047 in Switzerland. This is Radio Nordsee International on a test broadcast.
However, it was decided not to use the medium wave frequency, and a further move was made to 244 metres, 1230 kilohertz.
By the way, you must know by now that RNI is back on the OS on test transmissions only. Well, on test transmissions, how about that? 244 metres, 1230 kilocycles is our new medium wave frequency.
And on the 16th of May, regular programmes recommenced. But 5 days later, jamming started at the request of Czechoslovakia.
You tuned to Radio Nordsee International, your friendly station, on 244 metres, which is 1230 kilocycles, and also on VHF, channel 43, 100 megacycles.
RNI retaliated.
Do you honestly believe any government that passes the Marine Offences Bill, which forbids English people from working or advertising with Radio Nordsee International, or indeed any offshore commercial radio station, and you know, it also says it protects the freedom of the individual. Well, it just can't protect the freedom of the individual with this particular bill. And also with the jamming of Radio Nordsee, it proves that they certainly don't. So if you want to protect freedom of speech, of choice, opinion, and you believe in human rights, the free choosing of whatever radio station you want to listen to, well, I'll tell you what you can do about it. There is something you can do, you know. It's no use sitting back and saying, oh, it's very sad, but there's nothing we can do. This is the opinion, you know, if you have this opinion, then Radio Nordsee International will not be able to continue. So that's a good way of doing it if you don't want us to continue. But if you do want us to continue, there are some things you can do. For instance, telephone one of these numbers now and do it right away, and ask them what you can do to help Radio Nordsee International and so help fighting for freedom of the individual in Britain. There's Rayleigh, Essex, 4259. Rayleigh, 4259. Secondly, we have 01-272-0592, a London number. 01-272-0592. And so thirdly and finally, 01-203-3386. 01-203-3386. We want you to work together with us. If you fight for R&I, it's your freedom and the freedom of your friends that we are fighting for.
R&I makes me happy.
The following is a statement issued by the directors of Radio Nordsee International. When Radio Nordsee International first began broadcasts, it soon became apparent our transmissions were causing interference with lifeboat service broadcasts, and for this reason, Radio Nordsee International changed frequency to 244 meters. This frequency was chosen so that it would not interfere with any emergency broadcasts, nor would it interfere with any legally authorized broadcasting station. The interference that you can hear on 244 meters is intentional and so designed to discourage Radio Nordsee International bringing you the programs you want to hear. Radio Nordsee International, having done nothing illegal, has received no official complaints and therefore presumes it is other broadcast transmissions that are causing interference on 244 meters. Radio Nordsee International further presumes that these transmissions which cause the interference will cease and allow Radio Nordsee International to bring you the programs that you want to hear on 244 meters, 1230 kilocycles.
On the 13th of June 1970, the week preceding the 1970 general election, the Caroline organization used the transmitters of RNI and started an anti-Wilson campaign with its aim to ensure that a Labour government was not re-elected. Posters portraying Harold Wilson as Chairman Mao were displayed all over London. A rally was organised in Trafalgar Square, and a special Caroline bus toured marginal constituencies in an effort to bring a Conservative government to power.
Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Wilson, if you think free radio's down? We are the boys who will stop your little game. We are the boys who will make you think again. So who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Wilson, if you think free radio's down? Mr. Stonehouse starts to jam at 5:21, and he goes home at 2 a.m. His dirty work is done. So watch out, Mr. Wilson, you have met your match in us. If you think you can crush us, we're afraid you've missed the bus. So who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Wilson, if you think the radio's down?
Radio Caroline is surviving. It's all because of you, and you are making it all possible. Right now, it's 28 minutes past the hour of 4 o'clock. In the afternoon, you're all on your way to number 10. Wait a minute, Roger Day is here. Twiggy is here to talk to you.
Yes, I really would like to say that in my greatest expectations, I never realized that so many people would turn out in our cause, and you've made all the disc jockeys and the crew on board very proud and very happy to be, you know, part of you. And right now, I'm very proud to be British, and I'm proud of you, too. So thank you very much for turning up. Back to Larry.
Right. I think what we're doing right now is unbelievable. I hope that everyone realizes what our fight is all about. I hope everyone realizes that if you believe in freedom and if you believe in the freedom of choice, if you believe that what we are doing is important, and you do, of course, because you are there and you are marching and you are going down the street, I think you should all wave your hands in the air right now and jump for joy, because this meeting is so fantastic, and I hope that Harold gets our message. I hope he does.
Sound of the land, Caroline, the sound of the nation. Caroline!
We interrupt this program to bring you a Caroline Newsbeat News Flash. This is your chance to fight for free radio. Vote for free radio on Thursday. Your weapon is the vote.
Be a Caroline girl. Your help is needed urgently to fight for Radio Caroline and for your freedom. You'll be working with TV star Simon Dee, Caroline's first disc jockey, and Ronan O'Reilly, the man who brought offshore radio to Britain. Join the team working on the Caroline buses. Call immediately London 629-8606. Today, telephone London 01629-8606. Or if you are in London, call at number 19 Hayes Mews, London West 1, near to Berkeley Square. That's 19 Hayes Mews, London West 1, where you'll receive a very, very warm welcome in the spirit of the campaign for Radio Caroline and your freedom.
Yes, thank you very much, Alan, and very true words there. And, well, I know we are sort of going on about political things here, and that isn't really what a radio station is all about, but this is something we've been forced in by a very dictatorial attitude. I mean, if you remember, the Marine Offences Bill was passed. It made it very difficult for Caroline to survive, and it resulted, actually, in the Caroline going off the air before, on March the 3rd, 1968. Now, I was on board the ship at that time, and I felt very sad, and I think we all on board felt, well, a tremendous loss at the time, and I wonder if you felt that loss there at the same time, probably. And you wish you could have done something about it, don't you, and stopped us going off the air. Well, now we're back, you see,
And none of us on board really want to go through that again and for Caroline to have to go off the air, because I think I probably speak for Andy, who's on board, and Carl at the same time, and that we wouldn't really want to be on board if Caroline would have to go off the air this time, because it would just be too sad, and we probably couldn't think of anything to say, and we'd rather be off the ship at the time.
And we have a look at the Radio Caroline news at this time, and first of all, the general election. This is Andy Archer reporting. The opinion poll fast goes on as three more results were issued early this morning. The Labour lead over the Conservative varies from 2% to 7%. In terms of seats in the next Parliament, this would give Labour a majority of anything from 20 to 100. The Harris poll in the Daily Express predicts a lead of 2%. The National Opinion poll in the Daily Mail gives a lead of 4%, 4.1%, I'm sorry about that, and the Gallup poll in the Daily Express gives 7%. And according to the Harris poll, the Conservatives have a definite advantage in key marginal seats. The polling booths open at 7 o'clock this morning. And finally, the Caroline weather. England and Wales will be rather cloudy, although sunny spells will occur chiefly in the north. Showers or further outbreaks of rain are expected, especially in the Midlands, southeast England, parts of East Anglia and Wales. Temperatures will be similar or probably a little higher than yesterday, and the outlook for the weekend, dry in the north and in the south, well, we can expect rain and a forecast of some showers as well. This has been News and Weather with Andy Archer reporting, and public service announcement. The polling booths are open today from 7 a.m. till 10 a.m. 10 p.m. 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. This is General Election Day, Thursday, June the 18th, 1970. And Radio Caroline also advises you to use your vote. It's 2 minutes after 8 o'clock on Caroline.
The Conservative government have won the 1970 general election.
Just how much help the election campaign gave cannot be accurately ascertained, but it was the first time that 18-year-olds were able to vote. On the 20th of June, 1970, the station changed its name back to RNI.
You get a positive charge here on Radio North Sea. 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 Radio North Sea.
Further transmitter moves were made to 217 metres, 1385 kilohertz, and then back to 244 metres in an attempt to dodge the jamming. But the jamming continued.
Following control of our transmitter, this is Radio North Sea International. Return to the airwaves of 244 metres, 1230 kilocycles in the medium wave band, and an FM channel 43, 100 megacycles.
On the 23rd of June, the station closed, and the Mebo 2, defeated, headed back to Holland, where broadcasting recommenced at 7 a.m. the following day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mark Wesley here, welcoming you to a day's transmission from Radio North Sea International on 244 metres in the medium wave band, 1,230 kilocycles, also broadcasting on FM, channel 43, 100 megacycles.
The jamming by the Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications had now stopped. Alan West.
Yes, when the jamming continued after the election, the Conservatives were in power and Heath was appointed Prime Minister, we thought, oh, well, this is it. Switch it off now. We can carry on as though nothing had ever happened. But unfortunately, it didn't work out like that. Nothing ever seemed to be working out the way we wanted it. And the jamming carried on. I think we were even more angry then. We felt that we'd been used and duped, and that we'd probably blackened our names forever in the process. And I think everyone became very despondent then. And I think we were happy when Mebo decided to move the ship back to Holland.
Although the ship was back off Holland, RNI's problems continued. Interference was caused on medium wave to the Dutch network station Hilversum 3. An immediate change of frequency was necessary. And on the 3rd of August 1970, the station recommenced on 217 metres, 1385 kilohertz. And after further problems that month, the station changed frequency yet again to 220 metres. Things at last seemed to be improving for the Mebo 2. After all her trials and tribulations, who could think something else could happen? But it did. Just before 1:30 p.m. on the 29th of August 1970, the launch the Viking and the tug Husky were seen heading for the Mebo too.
7 minutes now away from 2 o'clock, and we have to apologise to you for interrupting our normal programme schedule with these urgent messages, but as you can probably appreciate, something rather drastic has happened, or is they're trying to make something happen, which we won't stand for. We're refusing to allow anybody on this radio ship, and if you've just joined us, perhaps you'd like to be put in the picture that a tug has come alongside, along with a person by the name of Kees Manders, who apparently is a well-known figure in Holland, and he is trying to take the ship away. Our captain has only allowed him on board and nobody else, and that will remain that way. We're not going to let anybody else on board the ship, only Mr. Manders, to hear what he's got to say. But Radio North Sea International will stay broadcasting until we receive a definite order from our head office in Zurich. So if anybody is listening in Zurich or in London or in our office in The Hague in Scheveningen, perhaps they would like to do something, perhaps send a boat out, or perhaps try to make contact with us on the short wave.
Spangles Muldoon takes up the story.
Mark Wesley came down and said there's a little boat, a little cabin cruiser at first, coming quite close to us. Play them the record. They're waving to us. So we played them a couple of records. And then out of the mist came a tug called the Husky. It was a big tug, and it had all the equipment on to cut the anchor and everything. And it got quite menacing within about 5 or 10 minutes. You know, the whole theme of the programme had changed dramatically from playing records to them to sort of almost putting out SOSs, but we'd still kept reasonably low key over this. And then Mark came down, and Carl Mitchell was with him this time, who was senior disc jockey, and said there really is problems now, that they're trying to talk to our captain and they want us to switch off the transmitter and go in with them. And they send a chap across, which I think is ship law, that if somebody wants to speak to the captain does have to speak to them. Just one person came across.
And we have a few more details now for those people who might like to know. The tug is in fact called the Husky and is now going round us in ever in decreasing circles. I think that's the right term. And we could still do with a bit of help, I feel. Here's Andy.
Well, the situation is we're none of us are sure what's happening at the moment, but this certainly isn't an authorised tug, and we have no tugs. The Mebo is in no need of a tug because we have perfectly good engines. So we're not exactly sure what is happening, but a tug is going by, and the captain, and also a small launch. The captain allowed one of the men aboard the ship, but he refused to let any more on board, which is his prerogative, and this is the way it's going to stay until we receive details or instructions from our head office. So once more, we'd like to make a call to our head office in Zurich, or if anybody's listening in our London office or in The Hague, perhaps you could try and get a message out to us on the short wavelength.
And they threatened to pour water on the aerial. I think I was responsible for stopping that. I don't know if what I said was right, actually, that if they had sprayed water on the aerial, they would have put us off the air, but they also could have electrocuted themselves. Thinking about it, they probably wouldn't have done, but the way we built it up on the air, they didn't do it.
It seems they're going to spray water onto the antenna, which, apart from tripping out our transmitter, would also give whoever did it a very lethal shock. So by all means, spray the area with water if it makes you feel any better.
And the banging you can hear in the background is that we're taking all security precautions and locking up the hatches to save anybody from coming down into the studio itself. So once more, we must tell you that there's a raid taking place at the moment, an unauthorised raid, and we're doing our best to stop everybody coming on board. So all we ask is for all our friends on the shore, that's at our head office, and also in our other offices all over the place, to send out help to us.
And just as it was getting to a point where there could have been a battle, Meister came out on another very fast boat, loomed out of the mist, and just as they arrived, and they just cleared off into the mist and never seen again. But we caused all sorts of havoc at that time. We were putting out distress calls about every 3 records to say that, if they'd like to call the Mebo office or call the Grand Hotel, and we gave the numbers out, and we jammed up the entire switchboard in Switzerland and caused all sorts of problems. And I think the same thing happened at the Grand Hotel. Every line was full for about a whole day afterwards, people ringing up asking if it was okay and could they help. I know my wife phoned from Birmingham and they knew the number already. As soon as she picked up the phone and said she was trying to make a call to Switzerland, they just said, yes, everything's under control. So it seemed that most switchboards throughout England were fully aware of us.
And we stand by for a word from the managing director of Radio North Sea International.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry for the inconvenience today that you've had, but unfortunately we've had problems out here. And I'm glad the disc jockeys have done their part in keeping you informed, and that's what R&I plans to do, is keep you informed of everything that goes on out here. I am out here right now with the owner of Radio North Sea International from Mebo Limited in Zurich, Switzerland. And we hope we don't have too many problems. At the moment, the ships have cooled off, but we are sure, as they have told us, that they are coming back. They have brought a child and a woman on one of the ships to kind of deter us from doing anything to them, although it is our intention, as the owner of the station has said to the captain of the trip that brought us out here, only the agent from the shipping company in Holland, myself, and the owner, Mr. Erwin Meister, has come out to the Mebo. Many people wanted to come out to help us. We told them they could not come on our ship. We are not interested in any fights. We are not interested in any deaths at sea. This station is not around to make trouble. This station is around to provide you with musical entertainment. And this is the reason that we asked only the shipping agent, Mr. Erwin Meister, and myself, Larry Tremaine, to come out here to the Mebo 2 to see what the problem was. We have contacted our attorneys, our solicitors in Holland, and we are trying to do our utmost to do the best for you. So please stay tuned. Thank you all very much for lighting up the switchboard at the Grand Hotel. We appreciate that very much. Also, thank you very much for lighting up the switchboard in Zurich. As I understand, all the lines were flooded, showing your continued support for Radio North Sea International. We are not saying at this time that we do not still need help, because at this time they have pulled away, but we are sure they are coming back. Mr. Mundus has no right to take this ship. There has never been a contract signed with him. There is no agreements between him and Radio North Sea International. This I can assure our listeners implicitly that there is no agreement and there is no reason for this action whatsoever. We are very sorry for all this trouble. We are very sorry to interrupt music like this, but you can understand our involved situation out here. We will protect the Mebo 2 to the utmost. We will not leave this ship. We are prepared for them, although we do not want a fight. We do not want any deaths or anybody hurt at all. It went so far as to tell them when they plan to put water on the transmitter, the disc jockeys, just by thinking of the people on the ship and not thinking of themselves, told them not to put water on the transmitter because it would kill everybody on the tugboat. This we did not have to do, but we did it because we are a music station. We are not around to injure or endanger any lives whatsoever. So please stay tuned. If you wish to help, we want it. But meanwhile, stay with us.
What good are friends if you never call on them? Your best friend station.
On the 22nd and 23rd of September 1970, the World Service was introduced on shortwave.
This is RNI's World Service, broadcasting in the shortwave bands at 6,205 kHz in the 49-meter band and also at 9,935 kHz in the 31-meter band. RNI's World Service, to the world with music.
On the 23rd of September at 9 p.m., a message was received from the shore stating that R&I was to close at 11 a.m. the following day. Alan West takes up the story.
I remember that we first learned about the closure very late at night. I can't remember how. I think it was telephoned out to the ship, radio telephone, something like that. There was an instruction to go on the air immediately and make a statement to dribble something about Veronica. I mean, what I wrote for that announcement about the Dutch government and the people and Radio Veronica was a load of garbage. I just invented it off the top of my head because something had to be said to cover up the real reasons why we were closing, which, of course, we didn't know. We just thought the station had run out of money. That was why we were shutting down.
Radio Noordzee is voluntarily closing down this morning at 11 o'clock. Due to the pressure in the Dutch parliament to close down the offshore stations, our directors in Zurich feel that it would be better for the people of Holland for us to suspend broadcasting so that the Dutch government will not attempt to close down Radio Veronica, so dearly loved by the people of Holland for the past 10 years. Radio North Sea International thanks you all for your support in the past month during our times of drama and struggle. Thank you for being faithful to us. We close this morning at 11 o'clock.
Well, considering everything that we've been through in 1970, a tremendous defeat, mostly sadness and quite a good deal of disappointment because we were suddenly to be out of a job.
Hello, this is Alan West for the last time on Radio North Sea International. Well, as usual, I'm lost for words, but I want to say that I feel it is very sad that we are closing now. We have achieved more on this station than any of the other offshore stations, and given time, we could have achieved far more. In summing up, I feel proud of this station and proud of the people I've worked with. We've been through a lot together and come out smiling, and I'm sure we'll all come out smiling from this. All of the announcers on RNI have a great future ahead of them, and I wish them well. Thank you to Mr. Bollier and Mr. Meister and to everyone around me for all the encouragement, and thank you for your support. Goodbye.
It was very camp, the last hour. Very camp, and it was done on purpose. I think Andy and I had this thing about Radio London and TW and the way things were done out there. And we decided we wanted to do a real tearjerker. And it sounded as though we meant it, although I think when we went in the studio to do it, we didn't mean it. We were still laughing over it. But by the time we were halfway through, you know, it was beginning to get through to us.
And as the clock ticks away, the time gets near.
Both Helen and myself joined the station at exactly the same time, so together we'll say goodbye.
What good are friends if you never call on them? Your best friend station.
From Alan West, it's goodbye.
And from me, Andy Archer, it's goodbye too.
And from RNI, it's goodbye.
And God bless.
It was later reported that Radio Veronica had paid the Mebo organization the sum of 1 million guilders to keep RNI off the air.
It's the happening place. Radio North Sea. It's the happening place. Radio North Sea. It's the happening place. Radio North Sea.
The Mebo 2 remained at sea, and on the 14th of February 1971, the station was back on the air testing.
Dit is Radio Noordzee met een proefuitzending op 220 meter middengolf. U kunt ons ook beluisteren op 49 meter korte golf of via de FM-band kanaal 44. Dat wil zeggen 100 megahertz. Ons adres is Radio Noordzee, postbus 117 Hilversum. Voor alle informaties in zaken publiciteit over deze zender, Radio Noordzee, postbus 117 Hilversum. U zult in de toekomst nog meer van Radio Noordzee horen. Nu kunt u luisteren naar een non-stop grammofoonplatenprogramma van Radio Noordzee.
I went down to pick up my ticket at Swiss Air and went down to Heathrow and flew over. And there was Bruno and Steve Merrick at the airport to meet me, and we had a hair-raising drive down the mountains into Zurich in Bruno's, I think it was a Thunderbird or something. He was a maniac driver. Anyway, we got to Zurich and we stayed in a quaint little Swiss-type hotel called the Hotel Rosli. We went to Bollier's High Life Club to record the test tapes. And we spent about 2 weeks there, if I remember rightly, doing that. We had a great time, you know, on Bollier's expenses, going out to nightclubs and buying new suits. It was very nice. Then we went off to Holland and we stayed in the Grand in Scheveningen for a couple of days. Steve Merrick and I went out to the ship together in a beaten-up old East German coastal freighter with water leaking through the bridge roof, and there was a Force 8 blowing. It was a dreadful night. We got out to the Mebo and we went round and round two or three times hooting away, and no one heard us. Then when we went alongside, the rumblings and bangings brought everyone up from the bells of the ship, and we got alongside and tied up, and it was then that we realised that the wind was much stronger than we'd thought, and the sea was smashing up between the two ships and were bashing together, and Baldio was saying, no, pull away, you'll damage my ship. And Merrick was getting really upset by this time. He'd had enough, and he threw his suitcase over the edge and jumped. He must have gone about 8 feet, I think, through the air. And once he'd gone, I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to go back and leave him there on his own. So I threw my case and jumped as well. And there was Meister standing there saying, don't jump, you'll kill yourself. Don't jump. Anyway, we got on board, and there we were, the two of us, for 2 weeks on our own, with just the crew to keep us company. And I think Kurt Beer was there. I think it was just one transmitter engineer. And it was a very together atmosphere for those 2 weeks, and we got on very well. We had to, and we spent very long hours not only doing test transmissions and running the tapes, but making jingles and putting together our ideas for the format and for the programs, and just getting everything ready.
Radio North Sea International will be on the air 20 hours per day with music and entertainment especially for you on your particular radio. And we'd like to hear from you, especially at this time. We'd like to hear from you concerning our reception in your area. And please address your reception reports on postcards only, please, to Radio North Sea International, in brackets, reception reports, P.O. Box 113 8047, Zurich, in Switzerland. And if this is the first time that you've tuned to Radio North Sea International, may I welcome you to this test transmission. And may I ask you also if you may like to pick up your phone and tell your friends that we're back on the air. Or if your friends live next door or a couple of doors away, why not take the tranny round and prove to them on the spot that R&I is back and on full power.
In fact, we worked harder in those 2 weeks, I think, than we worked at any time since then.
Full programmes recommenced on the 20th of February with an all-day English service until Dutch programmes were introduced on the 7th of March. And on the 21st of March, the world service was gradually reintroduced.
2 or 3 days before, actually, before we got on the air officially, Martin Kane and Chris St. John and one or two others came out to the ship. Well, Dave Rogers, I think, was among them. And we sort of sat down in the big studio and said, right, what are we going to do? We'd already decided, Steve and I, that we would have an official opening hour to compete with the final hour we'd had the year before. And we just decided the order in which we would do it, what we would put in it, and that was it. And then Vic Pelly came out, and we got the word to actually go on the air officially, and we planned it for that following Sunday, and there it was.
Reopening Radio North Sea International, this week's number one sound in our Super Hit 50, that's Gilbert O'Sullivan and Nothing Rhymed. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the sound of Radio North Sea International, Europe's number one music station.
It actually went off very well that day. Very well, everything went to plan. I mean, the place was chaos. Everything was falling out of the studio racks. It was a bit of a rough day. There were people being seasick, and it was chaos. But it was good fun, and it went off very well.
The time now is exactly 30 seconds out of 3 o'clock. So, Alan, if you'd like to move to the back of the studio,
yep.
I think there's one thing left to do, and that is for all of us, the six English announcers aboard Radio North Sea International, to have this station well and truly opened. So, are you ready?
Yep.
Are you ready, Alan?
Yep.
I now pronounce this station well and truly opened. Thank you very much. The time on Radio North Sea International is now exactly 3 o'clock. And now, Tony Allen with the Top 50 show.
I think it was just the general euphoric atmosphere that was making everything go so well. And the best program that I think I ever did was that very first one. At 6 o'clock on that day. It's the best one I think I've ever done.
We all of Alan West, we all of Alan West.
Yes, every night between 6 and 8 on R&I, we all love Alan West, apparently.
You know that we love Alan West. You know that we love Alan West.
You're having fun on R&I Summer Sound.
Steve and I used to get in the studio sometimes, usually when I was drunk. He didn't drink much. And sing these stupid jingles. It was really intended just as a fun exercise. But I mean, they were diabolical. I listen to them now sometimes and I cringe.
TGIF! Thank goodness it's fun with... Thank you for the
But for some reason, people liked them when we put them on the air. I don't know of anyone in the business who liked them, but I know that listeners liked them. They used to write in and say so.
Alan West, R&I.
Hey, look here, you happy heart.
You're having fun.
Or was that something else?
Stop the tape.
Can I start that again?
Yes, you're having fun with the Alan West Show.
And Radio Lossie.
Things seem to be running smoothly until the 15th of May, 1971.
Radio Noordzee International, the pop radio ship, is on fire off the Dutch coast.
We are having to abandon ship very soon. The entire stern end of the ship is on fire. Please call this telephone number, Zurich 542447. 542447, SOS, Mabibo 2 is being abandoned.
I was on the air at the time, and Dave, I think, had just come into the studio, brought me a mug of tea or something, and there was this enormous bang and the ship shuddered. You could feel it move. It must have come out of the water for a few seconds before it dropped back in, and my first thought was, we've been rammed, we've been hit by something, a fishing boat or an oil tanker in distress, although we'd have probably been turned over if that had been the case. Dave sort of looked at me with very glazed eyes and rushed out of the studio and came back a few seconds later and said, we're on fire. Then in the few moments that he'd been away, it had sunk into me that what had happened. Some intuitive thing told me that we'd been blown up. Couldn't explain why. And I said, yes, Dave, I know. And from there on until the moment when the trip came alongside and took us off, my memory of the whole thing is total confusion.
You're listening to a transmission from the radio ship Mebo 2. This is Radio Noordzee International. Still broadcasting in the medium wave, shortwave and in FM bands. Please stay tuned to these frequencies for further information. The fire, which we reported just now, had started in the engine room, has now reached the bridge. We will soon have to abandon ship. The last abandoned ship call was a false one. The last abandoned ship call was a false one. We may have to abandon ship soon. We need help. SOS. SOS. This is Radio Noordzee International. Mebo 2 anchored 4.5 miles from the coast of Scheveningen in Holland. At a time like this, I can't even say Scheveningen. Scheveningen in Holland. 4.5 miles from the coast by the radio ship Noordenee Veronica. We are on fire due to a bomb thrown on board from a motor launch, whose identity we do not know. We didn't even see the launch. We need help immediately. We need help immediately. SOS, SOS, Mayday, 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 Mayday. We may have to abandon ship. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. We may have to abandon ship. The fire has now reached the bridge. We do not know when we shall have to abandon ship, but it may be within the next few minutes. We are on fire in the engine room. The fire has now reached the bridge.
I've been told several times by various people since that on the tape of those couple of hours, I sound very calm and collected. In actual fact, I wasn't. I was scared shitless for the entire 2 hours. And if I'd realised, as I later discovered, that the fuel tanks for the generators were packed around the studios, I wouldn't have been anywhere near that bloody place.
This is Radio Noordzee International, an SOS call. This is Mayday, 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 Radio Noordzee International from the Mebo 2 at exactly 52 degrees, 11 minutes latitude, 52 degrees, 11 minutes latitude, 4 degrees, 16 minutes longitude, 52 degrees, 11 minutes latitude, 4 degrees, 16 minutes longitude. 4 miles from the coast of Scheveningen, Holland. 1 mile from the radio ship Noordenee, Veronica. We are having to abandon ship very soon. The bridge and the engine room are on fire. The fire is taking control of the ship. The fire was caused by a bomb thrown on board from a small motor ship. A small motor launch with an outboard motor. A small motor launch with an outboard motor. We don't know who it belongs to. We don't know where it came from or where it's going to. But it certainly bombed us while it was here.
And I sat there and did the Mayday calls because it seemed the only thing to do. I mean, there was no other contribution I could make, really. apart from chucking buckets of water on the fire, so I just stayed in the studio and got on with it.
Fire caused by a bombing in the engine room on Radio North Sea International, the radio ship Mebo 2. Once again, our exact position, please listen carefully, 52 degrees, 11 minutes north latitude, 4 degrees, 16 minutes longitude, west. East. 4 degrees, 16 minutes east longitude. 52 degrees, 11 minutes latitude north. This is the Mebo 2. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. This is the Mebo 2 on fire. SOS, Mayday, 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 SOS. This is an SOS call from Radio North Sea International. Once again, we have trouble. Somebody's bombed us this time.
We abandoned ship about five times, clambered over the side the first time and got into the rubber dinghy, and I got my feet wet, and I remember thinking I was very annoyed because I had new shoes on. I just bought them a couple of weeks before, and then we clambered back up on the ship again and they said it was okay, and then we got down into the rubber dinghy again, and then eventually we got back up onto the ship, went across the other side, and by that time the trip had arrived, and we got into that and we sailed away to watch the fire raging from afar. It was really a sad sight. The whole stern end of the ship was ablaze. The flames must have been leaping about 20 feet into the sky. It was a nauseating sight. There was a Dutch government ship out there. I think it was something to do with oil rigging. That was out there and it turned its hoses onto the fire. And a couple of tugs came along and helped to fight the fire. I think that went on for about 2 hours, and in the end they got it down so that it was just smouldering rather than burning.
By 2:20 a.m. the following morning, the fire was under control.
It was about 3 o'clock. We discovered it was safe to go back on board. So the first ones on were Chris St. John and myself, and I went straight down to the transmitter room with Kurt Baer, and we climbed underneath the transmitter, and with a bit of wire out of my razor, I think we managed to get the transmitter back on the air. Apparently. It wasn't damaged, but something had shorted out during the kerfuffle to get off the ship. And we got the transmitter back on the air. We went on the air for about 3 minutes, a little while after 3 o'clock. Yes, and the transmitters were putting out so much power that the Dutch rigging ship alongside, their antenna was starting to burn. Collecting so much RF that it was shorting and sparking. And thought we'd set them alight as well.
Dutch police have arrested three men on suspicion of causing the fire on the pirate radio ship Radio North Sea International. Police say they found parts of a rubber dinghy and frogman suits on a deserted beach near The Hague.
After the incident itself, the spirit on board Mebo had never been higher. It was fantastic. And of course, we got such tremendous TV news coverage and front pages and press all over the world, all over the Western world. Anyway. We were totally elated by this, and our listenership must have shot up by 100% that day. We'd never felt happier. You know, we were all alive. The ship was okay. We were still on the air, and we'd defeated whoever the opposition was.
Tune to Radio North Sea International. It's now 6:30 and time for the crew's messages. First of all, before we hear from the captain, if anybody's coming out to have a good look at the spectacle tonight or tomorrow morning, I expect a few people will be, perhaps you'd like to bring us some milk and sugar, because that's one of the few things we don't have, apart from a bridge. Hello, Captain.
Hello, Alan. How was okay here on the ship?
Yeah, who is it? Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, no
problem. Was all my room?
Huh? Geen brug, hè?
Nee, no room. Ik wil nogmaals dank uitbrengen aan de bemanning van de Koninklijke Noord-Hollandse Redding.
The repairs, estimated at £28,000, were carried out at sea.
You're tuned to Radio North Sea International, broadcasting in medium wave at 220 metres, 1,367 kilohertz. In short waves, 31 meter and 49 meter bands at 9,935 kilohertz and 6,205 kilohertz. And finally, in FM 100 megahertz, channel 44. Summertime R&I is now closing down for the night. We hope that you've enjoyed our programmes today and that you'll tune in again sometime tomorrow. We recommence transmissions at 6 hours Central European time with Peter Holland. The English programme begins at 16 hours with Mike Ross. Now from the management and staff, the captain and his crew, and disc jockeys Peter Holland, Jan van Veen, Joost de Dreyer, Ferry Mart, Mike Ross, Alan West, Crispian St. John, Mark Stewart, Stevie Merrick, and Dave Rogers, we wish you a very good night.
BT's Radio North Sea, International.